Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. Welcome to a beautiful Monday afternoon. I'm talking like a beautiful Monday afternoon. And guess who's on the board? Butters is on the board. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
I actually walked into the studio and I did that very thing. I walked in, I went, Butters!
Oh, man, I'm happy to be here. Happy to hang out with the good folks in Alabama.
Well, we appreciate you giving Big Rig a day out of the studio. He had some personal business to attend to, and it's good to know you're around.
Yeah, it's always fun to get in here and push buttons and see if I can make smoke come out of stuff.
Do you remember where they all are? Has he moved them around on you at all?
I'm actually, there's a few, but we'll see how it goes.
Oh, nice. All right. Listen, we ain't going to get jammed up. It's going to be good. Butters is on the board, so we're glad to have you, man. Hey, we got a great show lined up for you coming in on this Monday. We're coming in hot, brother. So 2:30 today, I mean, like right out the gate, 2:30 today, Greg Davis, my friend Greg is also the host of Priority Talk, which is the radio show on right after me and our Birmingham affiliates. But Greg Davis is also the president and CEO of ALCAP, the Alabama Citizens Action Project. And we're going to talk to him about some things that happened down in Montgomery that raised some eyebrows. I'll let that conversation unfold when he gets on the air with us. And then at 3:00, Todd Stacy, who's been on multiple times. Todd Stacy is the publisher of Alabama Daily News. You can find them online. He's also the host of Capital Journal, which is a public television televised interview show that airs every Friday night. Todd Stacy on to give us his lowdown on where the last 2 days of the session may or may not be going. That's coming up at 3:00. And then I still got a whole triple dipper full of stuff, so find the button and hit it.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, I'm calling it down to the wire because that's where we are, y'all, down to the wire. I mean, it is literally the last 2 days of the legislative session. By Friday, the state will be safer because the legislature is done. But yeah, two more days, we are down to the wire. Let's see what they can do or not do. That's number one on the Triple Dipper. Number two, it's pretty amazing. I mean, even right now, we're seeing up on the news on the screens that the White House says it may have seen a ceasefire plan in Gaza come to fruition today, or at least come to terms. We'll see. In the meantime, what do we do about all the anti-Semitic rhetoric going on in America, especially on college campuses? How do you deal with this stuff? What do you say to that? What do you do? How do you respond? We're going to talk about it. Number one is down to the wire on the Triple Dipper, but number two is dealing with anti-Semites. We'll talk about it candidly. Love to get your thoughts. So that's number two, dealing with anti-Semites. And then number three, the Trump trial. And oh, by the way, the other Trump trial. And then there's the other Trump trial. And then did I mention the other Trump trial? So all the Trump trials are going on. Lawfare. So number three is lawfare. We're going to give you updates on where they stand. Have they or have they not done anything to damage Trump's campaign? I would say the answer is probably no. But yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. Number three on the Triple Dipper, lawfare. All right, let me jump on over to the opening monologue for today's show. I'll just remind you guys, Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care is the chain of clinics that is the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. Southern Immediate Care in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. I mean, they're everywhere. They are open 7 days a week. They will see all ages, and they are great at what they do, and they are the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. All right, let me just jump in here. Lawyer Phil talking for a minute. As a matter of law, in a defamation case, you know, like where someone has slandered you or libeled you, in a defamation case, the old adage is that truth is always the best defense. Let me spend some time on how to apply that adage, though. Because in the legal sense, truth may be your best defense, but if you choose not to pursue it, then what have you accomplished? A lie, an actual lie, left unchecked, becomes truth in the minds of some unless you defend it. We have to sometimes take the time and put in the effort to flip the script, to actually confront the lie lay out the truth. Like all of you, I am watching as the rhetoric against Jews and Israel on college campuses has hit obnoxiously high levels. Jewish students are having to endure whole campaigns of anti-Semitism. If these were KKK rallies against black students, or rallies against Muslims, or rallies against LGBTQ lifestyles, well, they would have been hauled away a month ago. But apparently Jewish students are having to endure open mockery and calls for their death. It's just wrong. And it's time for truth to be told on those campuses. It's time for the real message to overcome the lies. So as I was thinking through this, I was reminded of something that happened many moons ago. It was the University of South Alabama back in the mid-80s. Spring of 86, if I recall. I was real involved in campus activities. I was serving at that time as the vice president of the student government. Came a day when this guy showed up on our campus, going by the name of Brother Jim. Now, he was an odd bird, I'm going to be honest, and he professed to be an evangelist of some type, but what he really amounted to was he was a rabble-rouser with a Bible in his hand. Don't get me wrong, there's a time and a place for laying it out strong like John the Baptist, but this guy was not that guy. He was weird. He just stood out there in the student commons for days, and all he did was yell at students, calling them names while waving his Bible in the air, even like hissing at them. It was bizarre. All the while, he was claiming that God would never love them until they repented of their evil ways. Meanwhile, his chosen means of spreading the good news of God's love for the world was to demean and belittle and criticize and generally act the fool. Not only that, but he just looked like someone who was not right in the head, you know? It was like Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation showed up with a Bible and a mean streak. That's what it was. And to say it drew a crowd, though, was an understatement. For some of the hundreds who came every day to hear his diatribes, it was comedy. To others, it was disturbing. And to me, it made me mad. Well, I wanted him gone. I mean, in my opinion, he was making a mockery of God. He was absolutely creating the wrong image and portraying nothing of the God who so loved the world that he gave his only son. So I talked with the campus authorities. Well, the deal came down to the fact that the student government did have the authority to request his removal. But he was otherwise not breaking any laws, they said. Okay. Well, like I said, I was the vice president of student government. So it ramped up a bit, though. Here's the thing. When my sweet fiancé at the time, the lovely Charlene, who I have now been married to for over 37 years, was walking past the commons when Brother Jim spotted her wearing something he apparently did not approve out of, and he just yelled out, "You hussy!" And he called on her to repent, never knowing that she already loved the Lord and was already volunteering with Young Life Ministries and changing kids' lives. Well, that did it for me, man. I was done. I got my friend Mike on the line. Mike was the president of student government, and I was the vice president. I remember saying, "Mike, we got to do something. He needs to go." To my surprise, Mike refused. He said, "Phil, I can't stand him either, but he's got a constitutional right to say those things. There's no law being broken here. If we kick him off the campus, then who's next?" You know, it didn't matter how many ill-advised "yeah, buts" I uttered in our conversation. Mike, he held firm. He wouldn't agree. And then he said something which really struck a chord, one that I've never forgotten. He said to me, "Phil, if you believe he's wrong, then go out there tomorrow and counter his message. People will listen to you. You have as much right to speak as he does." Well, I didn't want to. I just wanted him canceled. I wanted him gone. But I couldn't argue anymore because I knew Mike was right. So I geared up and I prayed up and I studied up. I was just a 20-year-old college student. What did I know? But I literally tabbed my own Bible. I made notes and I studied and I asked for some other folks to give me advice and to be praying at a certain time. And the next day, I was about as nervous as a pig in a bacon factory. But I went out there to the commons and sure enough, there was old Brother Jim. And as he yelled and accused and threatened in the name of God, I walked out there in front of all those students, several hundred, although it felt like thousands. And I walked right up to Brother Jim, and y'all, I kid you not, he literally crouched down a little bit and hissed at me while he was pointing his finger. It was weird. But I asked the crowd if they wanted to hear what the Bible really had to say about how God feels about us. Well, the crowd went nuts. So I read a few verses, and I spoke for a minute. And then Brother Jim screamed, and he ranted. So then I read some more verses, and I spoke for a few minutes. And this went on for like 10 or 15 minutes. He would scream and gesticulate and call names. I would read the Bible out loud, tell folks why I believed he was wrong. And then Brother Jim just literally threw his hands up in the air and walked away. If I recall, he actually left campus that day on his own. Now, I don't know anything about him. Some say he was just a guy pulling a stunt, that his whole shtick was designed to get folks to come speak up. I don't think so. I think he had a message that was wrong, and it took a message that was right to counter it. And here's why I say all of that. Because what I learned that day is that as badly as I want the ranks of conservatism or Christianity to grow, that it won't ever grow by virtue of cancel culture. Y'all, I wanted Brother Jim gone. I wanted him canceled. I wanted him kaput. My friend Mike reminded me what was really needed was a healthy dose of truth. That truth is the greatest defense to a lie. But the truth left untold is of no value. The truth must make it out in the public sphere, into the hearing of others, for it to take root and do any good at all. Now, to be sure, how you present the truth also matters. I mean, even the Apostle Paul said that he had come to the point where he knew he had to relate to his audience in order to win them over. Not that his message changed. He just made sure it was presented in a manner in which his audience could receive it. And oh, by the way, it doesn't mean you will persuade everyone. You won't. You can get over that idea. There are those who are already entrenched in the lie, or that need the lie, or that benefit from the lie. But there are those who I believe are still in the majority that simply want to know and to hear the truth, and it might take you or I speaking it. So what's your platform? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're a mentor to a single person. Maybe you have a following on a blog or a podcast or social media. Maybe you agree to help lead a small group, or you work in an advocacy organization of some type. Maybe your job is to assist the person who is the actual vocalist of the truth by helping them with research or technical support, or just inviting others to hear it. All I know is this, in our current state of things, these haters of Jews on the college campuses are wrong on so many levels. They are spewing hate-filled nonsense. They are just flat wrong, but the freedom to be wrong is just as strong in this great nation as the freedom to be right. But in the end, the truth is the right side to be on. If they break the law, damage property, or harm people, that's different. Arrest them and be done with it. But if we don't like the message, a cultural shift, a mantra of the left, or some rancorous anti-Semitism on college campuses, then we can either sit back and wait for somebody else to do something, or we can speak the truth and see what happens. This great nation that we love, it needs a healthy dose of truth. Maybe it's our turn. Maybe it's your turn to be the one who speaks it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. And yes, I'm telling you, it's something. And I look back on that and I thought, you know, my friend Mike squared me away. He did. Prior service guy, former Ranger Bat guy. He was the president of SGA and I was the SGA VP. He squared me away that day and he reminded me that, yeah, other people have a right to speak, but so do you. The truth wins out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.